pass has gone inside the 45. He has a man inside him. As he's going to pass, what's he going to do? Takes his shot. It's a goal! Sheer brilliance by Ozzy! What a run by Ozzy Gleeson! Created by Boris. Brick was on the outside. But when Ozzy shows his class, the Messi of hurling is Ozzy Gleeson.
Hello there and welcome to Paper Talk, the Irish Examiner's GAA podcast. Well, Waterford and Cork is the only show in town this Monday, as Derek McGrath's Daisha produced a sparkling display to advance to next month's All-Ireland final with Galway. Michael Moynihan was in Croke Park for the Irish Examiner and joins us now in studio this morning. So, Michael, an emotional day on so many different levels in Croke Park.
Yeah, well, it was great to see the and to hear the applause for Tony Keady and his family. You know, and everyone was very mindful of that. Yes, I think Kieran Kingston spoke very well about it, about that terrible event after the game. So, yeah, I mean, emotions were really high, certainly before the ball was even thrown in.
In terms of the result, is it too simplistic to say this was a game that turned on Damien Cahillan's sending off?
No, because Cork were well in the match up to that point. I don't think Damien Cahillan would have any arguments. There were certainly two yellow cards, and the second one could possibly have been a straight red card, but it also probably turned on the fact that Austin Gleeson escaped spectacularly from sanction for pulling off a helmet in the first half.
Now, in terms of that, obviously it's been analysed to death on television over the last 24 hours. In real time, was it very obvious?
No, you'd have to say that. As the way I remember it, in real time, the two of them tangled and rolled, and Gleeson got up and pulled the helmet as he was getting up. So it wasn't overt, certainly, but it was an extraordinary thing to do, given the furore over Tadhg De Bórca and over one of the Bennetts, can't remember which, who's also been suspended. And it doesn't paint a pretty picture for Waterford in terms of what you might call repeat offenders at a particularly egregious crime.
Yeah, the point that was made on the Sunday game, I think, by Anthony Daly last night was, I think you touched on it there, like this has been the topic dominating GAA for the last couple of weeks. You'd have thought that any inter-county hurler, any club hurler, would be afraid to get their hands within 2 feet of a helmet.
Yeah, you'd imagine players would actually be making a big show of throwing their hands up in the air and showing that their hands are nowhere near an opponent's head or shoulders even, not to mention what Gleeson did. He spoke to a couple of the Cork individuals afterwards, were deeply unhappy that he'd escaped that in front of the referee and the linesman. But it's worth saying the referee and the linesman had a nightmare of a day.
Why so?
Well, first of all, Kevin Moran was injured in the first half. He was down for a few minutes in the right-hand corner, and he wasn't approached by any of the officials. Now, I'd be a firm believer that if a player goes down, even if you're 99% sure he's chancing his arm, that you have a duty of care to go up and make sure he doesn't have a punctured lung or a cracked bone, etc. I thought that was poor. I also thought, leaving the Gleeson incident aside, when Conor Gleeson and Patrick Orton were sent off, it was an extraordinary decision because the whole ground saw who the Cork player was, who was the third man in, mm-hmm. and who struck Conor Gleeson, and certainly couldn't have quibbled with a red card. And, I mean, it's baffling to me that a referee who sent Patrick Horgan off in the Munster final 4 years ago also found it necessary to send the same player off when he wasn't involved in an incident at all.
I presume the Cork County Board are going to chase that one up?
I'd say it would remain to be seen, because I think if you were to sift through the tea leaves, would that expose the other player, the other Cork player, to sanction? I think if I wouldn't be advising the Cork County Board on how to proceed with these matters, I would allow the GAA's disciplinary machinery itself to grind its gears and to deal with the referee's error itself.
They'll be very busy over the next couple of weeks, though, fair to say.
Yeah, I mean, it's very unfortunate, because if the GAA had any sense, they would obviously bill the All-Ireland final is Austin Gleeson versus Joe Canning, two probably the single individual best hurlers you could find. And it's very unfortunate to know that there's a shadow hanging over Gleeson's participation.
Is it more than a shadow?
Because of the way the GAA's machinery operates, who knows? If the Sunday game discuss it, then it becomes a live issue in disciplinary terms, despite the GAA's protest to the contrary. To me, there is a case to answer. There's a lot to deal with because of the Conor Gleeson, Patrick Horgan sending off, which is going to have to be revisited. So while they're revisiting that, and if they don't then revisit what happened with Austin Gleeson, you would have to ask, then what are they doing?
So just looking back to last week, we had a similar situation with, was it Adrian Toohey, and how that was revisited and how that has come to its conclusion. Are we going to go down the same path?
Well, to quote the GAA itself, every incident is dealt with on its merits, supposedly. It's dealt with independently of what has happened before. If a county chooses to deploy something that occurred with a previous case in its defence of a current situation, that's a whole different set of circumstances. But you obviously couldn't sustain a disciplinary process where you say Colm O'Connor got his nose broken off the ball by Larry Ryan, but because in another match somewhere, someone got his nose broken off the ball, and nobody was ever brought the book, we just won't proceed with this. I just think it's unfortunate for Gleeson that he made it such an obvious and overt act, whereas Toohey might, even though you shouldn't compare the two, Toohey might be able to make some play with, I was reaching behind me and my fingers inadvertently got stuck in someone's face mask, which in and of itself sounds a bit ridiculous, but you know, that would be my logic, that for any disciplinary procedure to work, you must deal with every incident as it occurs. And because they will have to address the Conor Gleeson, Patrick Horgan issue, mm-hmm. that would certainly probably come up under any other business.
Let's get back to the match itself. Waterford are through to an All-Ireland final against Galway the first weekend in September. The right result?
Oh yeah, Waterford were the better team, even though Cork were ahead by a couple of points in the second half. Waterford just looked more to the pitch of the game. They were physically stronger. They were more streetwise. They were getting scores. They got a goal. They always looked like they might get another goal, where Cork never really looked like getting a goal. Like, unfortunately for Cork, I think all of the downsides of inexperience all came home to roost on one day. And with Waterford, they were hardly building all summer to this match, but they were certainly focusing on peaking around August, and they had their matchups right. They had players in good form. Kevin Moore and Jamie Barron were excellent. Austin Gleeson was very good in the second half. Their defence was very good, even without Ty De Burke, which will be a huge encouragement to them. And Stephen O'Keefe, I can't remember really a save that he had to make, which shows the difference when Waterford had maybe six goal scoring chances and Cork had none.
Okay, we'll hear a bit more from Michael in a moment. First, though, let's listen back to some of the audio with Waterford manager Derek McGrath speaking with our own Peter McNamara.
Hugely satisfying, yeah, hugely. Just a mixture of elation, relief, anticipation, you know, even at this stage, of what's to come, you know. So, all those emotions, elation, relief, joy, ecstasy. I don't know. It's just, it was everything to us coming into it, and we were able to perform well, so it's very, very satisfying, yeah.
Derek, that's a pretty monumental score you've put up for a defensive team in
America. Yeah. Sure. I could play the same interview I played the last time. Yeah, they did well. I think, I'm not sure what the score was when the sendings off occurred, in terms of to put kind of not balance to the suggestion that the space only opened up then, but I thought even if you look at Porrick's chance in the first half, Brick's goal, I think we were the ones creating the chances, albeit the theory is that we were set up defensively, if you like. So I think I've spoke to you before about the unpredictable elements of attack. I know it sounds very scientific, but that was certainly evident today, I thought, you know. Yeah, 100%. We spoke about it as a group Friday night. We spoke about it as a group on Sunday. We weren't sure whether we should, because you're dealing with a young lad that's, I won't say he's reserved, but he's just everything that we feel that we're trying to be, like, as a team, like, you know, he's just, you know, he's a purist, and he's just a great lad, and he's tough, and he's just, I don't know, I'm putting it right, because we had a tough couple of weeks, with him, and you know, I think he showed great mental fortitude in within the 2 weeks, and it's just we did it for him. Yeah, we won't make no apologies. That was part of the motivation, like, you know, not in a corny way, but it was definitely part of the group's motivation because of what he had contributed up to this match over the 4 years, you know.
How much of a distraction was going through the room?
Yeah, I don't think there's ever a distraction in trying to do the right thing. Like, and that's, you know, that's, we were just trying to do the right thing, you know, and that's so it was taxing, I suppose, in terms of coming up and down to Dublin and behind the scenes legalities of it, etc. And we immersed ourselves in it, and I have to acknowledge the role of our own County Secretary Pat Finney. He just put everything into it, and we immersed ourselves in it. So we you know, because we realised how important it was to us. So, but there was always a kind of a sub plan, if you like, or a plan running parallel to it that involved Kieran Bennett or involved Shane McNulty coming into the team. That was our kind of mindset. So there was two kind of trains of thought running, and that's difficult ahead of a match, you know, particularly given the time scale. We actually had to send in a team on Wednesday, I think, without a minute, and then there's a prerequisite whereby you can put in a guy that comes back if he was allowed, if he was freed by the DRA, if you like, you know. Yeah, I told him, I promised him the other night when he came out of Louis Fitzgerald Hotel that we'd be in the final. I just promised him. I know it sounds overly dramatic, but I just promised him that we'd be in the final, you know, because he's just... I went up to his mother and father on Friday, to his dad, up in Cashmore, and they were upset. Like, they weren't upset at what was... But just, you know, naturally, like his father would be. So I just promised him we'd be in the final, that's all. Oh, without a doubt, yeah, that's it, yeah. Make no apologies. A lot of them have it on it, yeah, but look, things like that are perceived as a bit gimmicky and that, but that's what we're about. Like, you know, he was central to our circle. It's only, he asked me a couple of years ago what was the R written on me thing, and I told you it was the rubbish, I think, this day 3 years ago or whatever. So I won't tell you what word it was, but yeah, definitely, yeah.
Eric, how pleased was to see the lads close after the game?
Yeah, it was today, definitely, Dermot. It was definitely pleasing, and I think 58 minutes or 59 minutes, I think, I'm not sure, it was 5 points in it, and the first thought process is the Kilkenny match from last year. But the space was opening up a bit more, like, than it was last year. And then you had Tommy Ryan and you had Colin and you had a few of the guys that can, they can go, like, you know, and the message is just to get the ball and go, like, and they were able to do that. So I think it was a good team effort, but very pleasing, Dermot, to answer your question, to see it out, you know. I think that's great to be heading into a final having seen it out in the manner they have, you know.
In terms, Michael, of the lessons that Waterford learn from playing Clare in the Munster Championship, very noticeable in the first half was the puck outs of Anthony Nash weren't as free flowing as they had been in earlier stages of the campaign.
Yeah, I mean, Clare against Cork probably overanalyzed it and ended up kind of not giving maybe the players the freedom to play what was in front of them, whereas Waterford have always stressed the freedom within the system. So it was very noticeable that they had a better work rate, that guys were more honest in their endeavours, and they were able to cut the supply to Conor Lehan, who didn't help himself by taking on some fairly low percentage shots when he did have the ball. And because Cork's system, even though they... People may not think so. Cork do have a very definite system. When Lehan isn't firing, you know, that creates an issue for everybody else. Creates an issue for the inside forwards, who are well marshalled. It was noticeable to say that Noel Connors wasn't put on Patrick Horgan. And even though Horgan did well, you know, the other matchup worked pretty well for the most of the time. So, you know, they certainly learned more. And, you know, they're a more experienced team. You would expect them to pick up a couple of little bits and pieces. And, for instance, Brick Walsh obviously noticed that Mark Coleman wasn't going to be touched tight and availed of that for a goal.
You mentioned Ty De Burka there a little earlier, considering it was headline news last week. It was something that was very noticeable in the post-match interviews, that it was very much for Ty. Do you read in a lot into that kind of psychological stuff?
No, really. I mean, that's nothing against the Waterford lads, but I mean, that's nonsense. To me, like, players are motivated individually. These are guys with huge experience. Some of them played 50 and 60 times for Waterford. I'm sure they wanted to win and they wanted De Borca to have a chance of playing an All-Ireland final. But I think those guys are well beyond kind of cheap tricks like, we'll win this for Tadhg. You know, they're self-motivated, self-starters, highly intelligent guys who have their own agenda, no doubt, to win an All-Ireland title. Would love to have Tadhg De Borca playing alongside them, but I'm sure if it was Val Dunic and Tom Barr alongside them in the half-back line, they'd do just as well. Sorry, Tadhg.
Now, we'll just take a quick break there from Michael and hear the thoughts of a disappointed Cork manager, Kieran Kingston, and his selector, Pat Hartnett.
Well, first, I'd like to say, I think the better team won on the day. That has to be acknowledged. And for a period of time in the second half, we were 2 points up, and then the game got away from us. I wouldn't really like to focus on the red card or red cards as per se, but I think the better team won on the day. From where we came from, just to acknowledge, Alan Cadogan had been quite sick with a cellulitis. Luke Mead had a broken finger, but that's not an excuse, that are the facts. And Luke Mead got a pin removed about a week ago, but I think actually the better team won today. I think in certain areas we didn't do ourselves justice, but we've no complaints. Delighted, you know, that's what you call it, that justice is done and the better team won. Well, the game was swinging to and fro, and there was opportunities on both sides, and there was, I don't know exactly the wide count, but, you know, at all times, I suppose, the team that makes the fewer mistakes tend to win. And I don't know how many wides we had and so on, but at half-time, you know, not having played to our best, we were still in the game. And, but, you know, again, Watford justifiably the winners today. I saw the first one, I didn't actually see the second one, you know. And like, there's no one more disappointed. But in saying that, he's been phenomenal all year for us. I'd like to, you know, I thought he was absolutely a leader for us, a genuine leader. And look, these things happen, and I wouldn't like to focus or comment on it, really.
Is there a 5-week layoff factor? How do you feel?
Look, it is what it is, really. I mean, we trained exceptionally hard. I thought the coaching was excellent this year. And I said in one of the press interviews there earlier, I mean, we totally concentrated on the hurling. Absolutely this year. And I think, you know, our puck-out strategies were very, very good. I think where we came from last year, if you actually see what our baseline, our starting point was to what this year. And that's poor consolation to the dressing room inside now. But, you know, I don't think we did ourselves justice today. And that's disappointing. But in saying that, the effort was there. But sometimes the game goes to and fro, and it didn't go our way today. But again, Watford were the better team on the day, and they finished very strongly. Sure, I think actually, after the first red card, we kicked on. Actually, we had a period of time for 5 or 6 minutes that it tended to take a different shape. But look, all goals are expensive, and they're all costly. And at the end, it's the sum total. But you know, again, best team won on today. Yeah, they had a very deep line sweeper. Very, very deep line, really. It was like a second full back, and he played very, very well. So it was really, really difficult for the two inside forwards. So the effort was there for sure.
We don't have any complaints. Thought for long periods of game, obviously we were in the game, it was a very good game, nip and tuck. We never really took control of it at the same time. And I don't think the scoring game was a reflection of the game, to be honest about it. But like we, I'm not going to sit here and say, ifs and buts or anything like that, I don't know if it was a sending off or not a sending off. End of the day, best team won of the day. We wish him, Watford, congratulate Watford on behalf of Cork, and wish him the best in the final.
Kieran, Watford overall are a more experienced team than Cork, and probably maybe further down in their development. Was that a key factor in the final?
Who knows? We can all speculate and write and say what we like. At the end of the day, it was always going to be tough coming up here. Playing a team for the fourth time in 8 months, having beaten them twice already, we knew that. That's no secret, right? That wasn't going to be easy. Obviously, it was a Croke Park thing, seeing how our guys would react to Croke Park. But like, you have to give credit to Watford. Like, this is their fourth semi-final in 3 years, including draw. So they've had a lot of disappointments in the last couple of years, and I said that to them inside. But they've felt a few times like we do now. But I thought our lads, and I think to be remiss of me, this is our last get together with you guys for this year, to be remiss of me not to acknowledge firstly
our lads and what they gave us this year. At the start of the year, we were totally written off. We won the Munster League, which we played. We do play scores good feet, so we won the Munster Championship. Good league campaign, but that's not where we felt we wanted to stop. We wanted to go on from today, and we're hugely disappointed we didn't. We felt coming up with the right chance to do so. But our at Cork bunch of players have been fantastic all year. They've done everything we've asked them for, and we asked them to change a lot. We asked them at the end of the last year, start of this year, to make a lot of changes. We asked them to change a huge number of things in terms of culture, the way we do things, in many ways. And they bought into that. Without a question, every single one of them bought into that. And they've got the whole of Cork behind them, and we could see that from the support we got from the games right through the year and again today. The support they've got, and the supporters, they've created a fantastic bond between the support. There has been a fantastic bond created between the supporters and the team. And we have to acknowledge what they've done. Of course, we're disappointed. We'd love to be going further. Absolutely, who wouldn't? But we have to, I suppose, I want to say how proud I am of what they've done and how thankful I am for the backroom team here and Pat is here and the other lads for the work they've put in this year. Relentlessly, everything we've asked them to do, 99% of them are doing on a voluntary basis. The time they've given the Cork Hurling this year is just phenomenal. And I think it would be wrong not to acknowledge that as we finish up our year. I mean, look, of course, I got to look at them again, and I won't comment on those until I do so. We lost Damien. There's two at the end there. I didn't see that incident at all, to be honest. I don't know what happened there, but that had no bearing on the game. Who knows what bearing the other one had? But there, look, the swings and roundabouts. They go against you some days, they go with you. The other days, today they didn't go for us. What bearing it had on the game? Who knows?
What for Cork, was it an experience or was it a case that Waterford had them studied to a T?
I suppose it's always hard to beat a team a second time. And Cork have struck me as a team that I think teams may take 45, 50 minutes to figure out what they're doing and come to grips with it. And of all the managers around, Derek McGrath is probably one of the best to study another team and to see what way to play them. But also, you know, McGrath has terrific hurlers at his disposal. He's a very good coach. You know, they're experienced. This is their fourth year, so they know each other very well. Three of the Cork players have another 2 years playing under 21, which just shows the level of inexperience there. I think that's often used as an excuse, but I'd be surprised if, say, the likes of Fitzgibbon, Coleman, Kingston and Splat had ever even played in Croke Park before. So, you know, at that level, that does count for something. That's not why Cork lost because Waterford were better and a good bit better, but you know you can't teach experience. They can only learn by doing.
Massive disappointment obviously in Cork today, but let's be honest, back in January if I had said to you we would be discussing Cork hurling on the 14th of August, would you have been surprised?
Yeah, I mean, before the season started, the most important team was the under 21 team that they had put on a show. And yet they became the least important team because none of the minors in All-Ireland and the seniors, you know, played in All-Ireland semi-final, which is staggering progress, really. I'd say they're about 2 years ahead of schedule. And, you know, I genuinely got the impression from talking to Cork people afterwards in Dublin that there's a huge acknowledgement to that the team have progressed fantastically and that they play a brand of hurling that Cork people really like to watch and people are optimistic about next year and are taking huge positives from this year. Like, Cork probably were a little bit rusty, probably took a little bit of time after 4 or 5 weeks off. But a Munster title was far more important to Cork than it was to Tipperary or Waterford or Clare this year because it's so long since they actually put a run of games together. So, to me, the ideal nearly next year would be if they lost in the first round, had a few games off Broadway to try a few different things and came to Croke Park in August with, you know, the kind of experience or some of the experience that Waterford brought to the table where you can tweak things, try guys in different places and build up their confidence.
Okay, finally, Michael, I suppose the dominance of the big names, the Tipperarys, the Kilkennys, the Corks over the last 20 years, it's going to make for an incredible build-up to what is a novel All-Ireland final.
Oh yeah, with respect to my friends in Tipperary and Kilkenny and my long years of going to the Horse and Jockey and Langton's for press nights, even on that novelty alone, it is going to be terrific. And I have met Kilkenny people who are looking forward to the All-Ireland final because there is no shadow of a toxic rivalry between them. And I don't think Galway and Waterford would really have a a bitter past that would rear its ugly head. I mean, certainly the novelty value, and as I say, you know, the whole potential for, you know, Gleeson versus Canning, you know, there's lovely little subplots around the place, the way Derek McGrath played against Donoghue, Micheál Donoghue was a minor. You know, it's going to be really, really interesting, you know, right up to when Galway win.
We'll have you back here the Monday after the All-Ireland final for that prediction. And that's it for this week's edition of the Irish Examiner's GAA podcast, Paper Talk. We're back again, same time, same place next week. We'll be looking back on the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship semi-final between Mayo and Kerry. Thanks to Michael Moynihan for joining us in studio this morning and to Larry Ryan, who produced. Talk to you next week.